By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya'i wal-Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah عز وجل. You are watching Rise and Shine. This program, we have a Naad Sharif every day. MashaAllah, we have a topic which we speak about every day. And yes, we don't go into too much detail. Alhamdulillah, say a morning program, a morning show. We listen to a little, Alhamdulillah عز وجل, about the deen. That's the whole purpose, my dear viewers. To learn about the deen, to learn about the religion, good etiquettes, refrain from bad things, inshallah azza wa jal. But let's, as usual, each and every single day, we begin our days by listening to the Quran. Now, this does come along with the Urdu translation. So, my dear viewers, those who do understand the Urdu language, there are a slight advantage. But those who don't, no problem. Because the Quran is such that, Alhamdulillah, really so beautiful. It's such that although it's in a foreign language, although we may not understand it, although the majority of us may not understand it, but yet, just by listening to it, we gain reward. Yet, just by looking at the glorious Quran, we gain reward. Yet, just by reading it, we gain reward, my dear viewers of Madani Channel. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal. But this does not mean that we only need to listen to it. This is enough. We don't need to read it maybe. Or we don't need to understand what's in the Quran. No. No, my dear viewers. This is not the lesson we should be taking from this. But rather, inshallah, this may increase our love for the glorious Quran. So that later we may open up the Quran as well as the English translation. Which you can, mashallah, find on the Dawat-e-Islami website. Yes, the English translation of the glorious Quran. So look it up, read the glorious Quran in the English language, as well as the commentary of the glorious Quran. Yes, because the Quran cannot be read without its commentary. Meaning it's necessary for us to understand the Quran, to read the commentary of the Quran is the way to understand what's in the Quran, my dear viewers, the explanation of the glorious Quran. So this is something, inshallah, which we should, inshallah, make a habit of doing. Now, my dear viewers, let's begin this morning by listening to the beautiful verses of the glorious Quran. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
میں اللہ تعالیٰ کی پناہ میں آتا ہوں شیطان مردود سے.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا.
وَلَقَدْ أَخَذْنَا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ بِالسِّنِينَ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ
اور بے شک ہم نے فرعون والوں کو برسوں کے قحط اور پھلوں کے گھٹانے سے پکڑا کہ کہیں وہ نصیحت مانیں
فَإِذَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْحَسَنَةُ قَالُوا لَنَا هَذِهِ وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَطَّيَّرُوا بِمُوسَى وَمَن مَعَهُ
تو جب انہیں بھلائی ملتی کہتے یہ ہمارے لیے ہے اور جب برائی پہنچتی تو موسیٰ اور اس کے ساتھ والوں سے بدشگونی لیتے
أَلَا إِنَّمَا طَائِرُهُمْ عِندَ اللَّهِ وَلَكِن أكثرهم لا يعلمون
سن لو ان کے نصیبہ یعنی مقدر کی شامت تو اللہ کے یہاں ہے لیکن ان میں اکثر کو خبر نہیں.
وَقَالُوا مَهْمَا تَأْتِنَا بِهِ مِنْ آيَةٍ لِتَسْحَرَنَا بِهَا فَمَا نَحْنُ لَكَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ.
اور بولے تم کیسی بھی نشانی لے کر ہمارے پاس آؤ کہ ہم پر اس سے جادو کرو، ہم کسی طرح تم پر ایمان لانے والے نہیں.
فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمُ الطُّوفَانَ وَالْجَرَادَ وَالْقُمَّلَ وَالضَّفَادِعَ وَالدَّمَ آيَاتٍ مُفَصَّلَاتٍ.
تو بھیجا ہم نے ان پر طوفان اور ٹیڑی یعنی ٹڈی اور گھن یعنی کلنی، یہ جوئیں اور مینڈک اور خون، جدا جدا نشانیاں.
فاستكبروا وكانوا قوما مجرمين.
تو انہوں نے تکبر کیا اور وہ مجرم قوم تھی.
ولما وقع عليهم الرجز قالوا يا موسى ادع لنا ربك بما عهد عندك.
اور جب ان پر عذاب پڑتا کہتے اے موسیٰ ہمارے لیے اپنے رب سے دعا کرو اس عہد کے سبب جو اس کا تمہارے پاس ہے.
لَئِن كَشَفْتَ عَنَّا الرِّجْزَ لَنُؤْمِنَنَّ لَكَ وَلَنُرْسِلَنَّ مَعَكَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ.
بے شک اگر تم ہم پر سے عذاب اٹھا دو گے تو ہم ضرور تم پر ایمان لائیں گے اور بنی اسرائیل کو تمہارے ساتھ کر دیں گے.
فَلَمَّا كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُمُ الرِّجْزَ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ هُمْ بَالِغُوهُ إِذَا هُمْ يَنْكُثُونَ.
پھر جب ہم ان سے عذاب اٹھا لیتے ایک مدت کے لیے جس تک انہیں پہنچنا ہے جبھی وہ پھر جاتے.
فانتقمنا منهم فأغرقناهم في اليم بأنهم كذبوا بآياتنا وكانوا عنها غافلين.
تو ہم نے ان سے بدلہ لیا تو انہیں دریا میں ڈبو دیا اس لیے کہ ہماری آیتیں جھٹلاتے اور ان سے بے خبر تھے.
وَأَوْرَثْنَا الْقَوْمَ الَّذِينَ كَانُوا يُسْتَضْعَفُونَ مَشَارِقَ الْأَرْضِ وَمَغَارِبَهَا الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ الْحُسْنَى عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا.
اور ہم نے اس قوم کو جو دبالی یعنی کمزور سمجھی گئی تھی اس زمین کے پورب پچھم یعنی مشرق و مغرب کا وارث کیا جس میں ہم نے برکت رکھی اور تیرے رب کا اچھا وعدہ بنی اسرائیل پر پورا ہوا بدلہ ان کے صبر کا.
ودمرنا ما كان يصنع فرعون وقومه وما كانوا يعرشون.
اور ہم نے برباد کر دیا جو کچھ فرعون اور اس کی قوم بناتی اور جو چنائیاں اٹھاتے یعنی تعمیر کرتے تھے.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. الحمدللہ عز وجل. One thing which I personally love is yes, listen to the Quran, and mashallah it's on screen too, so if you wish you can read along with it. But then also with mashallah the pictures and the visuals, let's just say, I don't think they're really pictures, aren't they, the short clips, but also along with the visuals, this is something I generally really love. It's the beauty of it, isn't it? MashaAllah, when you're looking at whether it be waterfalls or the rivers or the oceans or the animals or the fish in the sea, whatever it may be, alhamdulillah, it's beautiful, it's really beautiful. And it shows that if this is the beauty of the creation, imagine how beautiful the Creator is, really. Because if you go out in the world, you don't even really have to go fast many a time. As we said, you know, the other day, just go outside of your house and just look up at the sky. And look how beautiful it is. You see, because wherever we look around us, on the ground most of the time. We're living in a city, you know, the majority of times. So wherever we're looking around, all there is buildings. This is how it is in many places. It is buildings, so there's nothing special about that. But my dear viewers, all you need to do is just look up. Really, all you need to do is look up, look up, look at the skies. And the beauty is just like, wow. Honestly, it doesn't matter what the state of the sky is. Now, sometimes you'll get really, really... I remember once, mashallah, in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, I've never experienced such a sky as I did, well, this particular time in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. The entire, mashallah, you know, the not just the horizon, the entire place was orange and beautiful. And you think, you know, all of these things. And whether there's clouds there, they're beautiful. Whether there's no clouds, still beautiful. In the middle of the night when there's, you know, it's complete darkness and there's just stars, that's beautiful. Alhamdulillah, really, it's just so beautiful. That's what's looking up outside of your house, just look up at the sky and just think, wow, look how beautiful the sky really is, my dear viewers. And, you know, mashallah, we've been seeing these visuals on screen too. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, the Lord of the worlds. The creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so beautiful, alhamdulillahi azzurra. And this should strengthen us in our iman. Because we look at these things and we know that this is not something that could come about perfection, isn't it? Completely perfect. It's perfect, immaculate, phenomenal. This is not something which can come about on its own. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jalla. My dear viewers of Mandan, inshallah, mashallah, Rise and Shine is presented each and every single morning. We've had our tilawat of the glorious Quran as well as the Urdu translation to that, my dear viewers of Mandan, inshallah. Now let's move on to the Naat Sharif of the greatest of all mankind. My dear viewers of Mandan, inshallah, the creator of all the worlds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created all of this beauty around us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also created, well, He created everything. But amongst the things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, the angels, the jinns, also the humans. And amongst the humans, my dear viewers of Mundan, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the prophets and messengers. And amongst all of humanity, amongst all of creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And from all of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, the hadith Qudsi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the reason everything was created was because of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not created, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I would not have created anything else. I would not have created the sun, the moon, the stars, etc. Allahu Akbar. All for the messenger of Allah, the last and final prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he's a beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear viewers of Madinah Channel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No doubt it is our job too to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And the important thing is that our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, you can say, conditional. It is a condition for iman. We must love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to have complete faith. And we must love him more than anything else to have complete faith. More than anybody else to have complete faith. And alhamdulillah, this is what a true Muslim is, who loves the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than anything else. So much so that more than ourselves. We must love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even more than ourselves. And it's easy to say. Really, it's easy to say this, my dear viewers of Allah. But it may not be so, you know, easy to try to accept or implement or, you know, truly for it to sink in. That we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than ourselves. So we will protect the honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, you know, it's protecting the honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is more important than us. We will say to our parents that, you know, we'll give our life for you, Alhamdulillah, for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will, you know, give the entire world Alhamdulillah azza wa jal. But even this is love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it's not just all words, it's action too. Meaning implementing the orders which have been given within the Quran, acting upon the traditions, the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those things which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, to do those things. Those things which the Prophet refrained from, to try to refrain from those things. But if you have the Nishanah, Alhamdulillah, listen to the Naat Sharif, which is what? The Naat Sharif, my dear viewers, is praise upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we should, if we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should also praise Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam.
Mere Nabi salli ala mere nabi salli ala pyare nabi salli ala andar pe bula lo humko bhi pyare nabi salli ala mere nabi salli ala pyare nabi salli ala andar pe bula lo humko bhi pyare nabi salli ala mitte hain ja bhar ke alam madine mein mitte hain jahan bhar ke alam madine mein bigde hue bante hain sab kaam madine mein bigde hue bante hain sab kaam madine mein bigde hue bante hain bigde hue bante hain sab kaam madine mein mere nabi salli ala pyare nabi salli ala andar pe bula lo humko bhi pyare nabi salli ala aqa ki inayat hai har gaon madine mein aqa ki inayat hai har gaon madine mein hota nahi koi bhi na kaam madine mein مدینے میں ہوتا نہیں کوئی بینا کام مدینے میں میرے نبی صلی اللہ پیارے نبی صلی اللہ اندر پہ بلا لو ہم کو بھی پیارے نبی صلی اللہ اے حاجی رو رو کر کہہ دینا سلام ان سے اے حاجی رو رو کر کہہ دینا سلام ان سے اے حاجی رو رو کر کہہ دینا سلام ان سے لے جاؤ غریبوں کا لے جاؤ غریبوں کا پیغام مدینے میں میرے نبی صلی اللہ پیارے نبی صلی اللہ اندر پہ بلا لو ہم کو بھی پیارے نبی صلی اللہ آقا گناہگاروں بے خوف چلے آؤ آ جاؤ گناہگاروں آ جاؤ گناہگاروں بے خوف چلے آؤ آ جاؤ گناہگاروں بے خوف چلے سرکار کی رحمت تو ہے عام مدینے میں میرے نبی صلی اللہ پیارے نبی صلی اللہ اندر پہ بلا لو ہم کو بھی پیارے نبی صلی اللہ دربار میں جب پہنچو اے کاش شاہ اس دم دربار میں جب پہنچوں پہنچوں دربار میں جب پہنچوں اے کاش شاہ اس دم دربار میں جب پہنچوں اے کاش شاہ اس دم دیدار کا ہو جائے دیدار کا ہو جائے عام مدینے میں میرے نبی صلی اللہ پیارے نبی صلی اللہ اندر پہ بلا لو ہم کو بھی پیارے نبی صلی اللہ
تارتے اب ایسا اے کاش کرم ہو جائے تارتے پھر ایسا اے کاش کرم ہو جائے مکے میں سار گزرے تو شام مدینے میں مکے میں سار گزرے تو شام مدینے میں
میرے نبی صلی اللہ پیارے نبی صلی اللہ اندر پہ بلا لو ہم کو بھی پیارے نبی صلی اللہ
صلی
حبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. ویورز الحمدللہ عز وجل, just listen to the نعت شریف of Rasulullah صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. Coming to our topic, what is today's topic? Today's topic, my dear viewers of Madinah, inshallah, don't be hastiness. This is inshallah what we shall be speaking, hearing about today. What is being hasty? Now there's one thing is being quick with things. You know, you should do things quickly. You shouldn't delay things. You shouldn't procrastinate. But my dear viewers of Madinah, inshallah, exams. You know, exam time. What happens? Everybody's procrastinating. Everybody's delaying. Oh, not everybody, but many people. This is what many people do. They think, oh no, I've got a month left. Don't worry. This time, so if it's 6 months before or as soon as the first, let's just say we had the first semester. So the first semester would be like December, January times examination. Maybe. It's round about that time. And then what will happen is we've done our exams. And as soon as we've completed the exam, we'll think, oh, that's it, from next semester, from the beginning, I'm going to do this. I'm going to revise as I go along. Or at least a month or two before, I'm going to be revising for my exams. And then what happens? As soon as the next semester begins, we just get back into our old routine. And we delay until we have deadlines or until our exams are coming. And then before we realize that we've only got a week for our exams, or now we're going to try to, you know, all of the information which we should have developed or learned over the year, now we're going to try to memorize maybe or learn all of this within the space of about a week or so, many viewers. Now, this is what we do. Now, this is what many individuals do. And maybe you don't do that. This is what would happen with many people. We delay things. We think, oh, how long? We've got a month left. What's the point in doing it now? Why not just, you know, we've got enough time, we'll do it later. So there's one which is delaying things, procrastinating things. Many times this is not good, my dear viewers. Yes, there can be some benefit sometimes in, you know, doing things closer to a particular time. That's fine, but generally, we shouldn't delay things, we shouldn't procrastinate. So we should do things quickly. Now, there's, you know, not delaying, doing things quickly, and then there's also something known as hastiness, my dear viewers. What's the difference between the two? For example, let's just take an example. Doing something quickly would be, for example, Maghrib Salah. Now, the rest of the prayers, there's recommended time for the prayer too. So a prayer begins at such and such time. Let's just say, for example, the Zuhr Salah, which we will be praying today, inshallah. Now, the Zuhr Salah for today, my dear viewers, normally it's round about what 1-2 o'clock Jamaat's time bees. But generally what's the Namaz is the fard, meaning within the beginning of Zuhr time up until the end of Zuhr time, we must pray our Zuhr prayer. So there's a time limit now. But even within this is there's a recommended time. Even within this, there's a recommended time. So for example, in the winters, the Zuhr would be read earlier. In the summers, they would wait until things cool down a little. And then the Zuhr prayer is recommended to read. Asr prayer, my dear viewers, inshallah. when the sun is at such a point where you're able to look directly at the sun. Where now is at such a point where you're able to look directly at the sun. Now this is the recommended or the best time to pray the Asr Salah. Whereas you could have prayed it before that. Because the Asr's prayer begins before. So many times these are delayed in some way, aren't they? But then the Maghrib Salah comes. The time for Maghrib Salah comes. And when the time for Maghrib Salah comes, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, what happens? As soon as Maghrib time begins, that's it, we're there. As soon as Maghrib time begins, we're there. If it's for Jamaat, then what happens? We're at the masjid, Maghrib time has not even begun. Do we do this with any other prayer? For Zuhr Salah, the Zuhr Salah has begun 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, whatever time it may have been, sometimes 11 o'clock, Allahu Alam, depending on where you are in the world. But it's begun early. And we're arriving at the masjid at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock for Jamaat. Same with Asr Salah. And then for Maghrib Salah, even before the time has begun, we're at the masjid, ready to join the prayer. Or even our home, maybe, wherever you pray. But as soon as I say the time has begun, Maghrib time has begun, then straight away you'll see that the Muazzin is calling the Adhan. And then immediately after the Adhan is the Iqama. There's nothing in between. There's no cycles of prayer in between. There's no sunnahs to be read before the Maghrib Fard. Why? Because this is something which is performed immediately. Something which you should do quickly. Although you have enough time. According to the Ahnaf, there's enough time to pray the Maghrib Salah. So sometimes, there's in some places, it's like at least an hour or so to pray the Maghrib Salah. Yet everybody thinks, no, I need to pray quickly, otherwise I'm going to miss it. Maybe you're not going to miss it, but yes, it should be read quickly. So this is doing something which is fast, meaning sometimes you should be quick with doing things, meaning quick in starting things. So don't delay, for example, the Maghrib Salah. As soon as Maghrib Salah begins, don't delay, pray your Salah. But my dear viewers of Madani Channel, there's something else which is being hasty. And let's use the same prayer of Salah. In Sahih Bukhari Sharif, the Hadith Sharif mentioned, it said that once a man came to the masjid and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting in the corner of the same masjid. Now that man, he went and offered his salah. He offered his salah, and then as possibly he was coming out, he gives salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replies, firstly, wa alayka salam. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that, now return, fasalli, and pray your salah. Why? For indeed you have not prayed your salah. This person, he came into the masjid, he prayed his salah, he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, giving salam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replies to the salam and says, now go pray. But this person has just prayed. Meaning, you need to pray again due to the condition of a prayer. So then this person, he returns and he goes prays again. And then again he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, same happens. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, no, go back and pray again. And then this happens a third time. Or maybe the third time, or maybe the fourth time, Allahu alam. This person, again, he has prayed his salah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam again says to him that now return, pray your salah again. That individual, he says to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please teach me how to pray salah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches him as to how to pray salah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that when you stand for salah, then perform your wudu properly, meaning before you begin your salah, perform your ablution properly. Then face the Kaaba, then recite the takbir. Then recite as much Quran as is easy for you. Then go into ruku until you rest there for a while, meaning you wait there for a while. Then stand to the extent that you are upright. You are seated, stand to the extent that you are upright. Then go into sajda, until you come to a rest. Then go to the extent that you are seated properly. Then go into sajda to the extent that you come to a rest. Then get up until you are seated properly. And then do the same in the rest of your salah. So the Prophet ﷺ has told him that, you know, you're going to recite your takbir, you're going to recite the Qur'an, recite that which is easy as much as, you know, you can do from the Qur'an, and then go into ruku. Now, when you go into ruku, you should go in such a manner that now you are at a rest, meaning you're pausing there, you're waiting there. And then you will stand upright. Then you go into the first sajda, the second sajda. But for each one between the two, you must sit properly. And whilst you're in sajda, you must have, meaning, what does it mean by proper rest? Meaning you would perform these sajda properly. And then repeat the rest of your prayer like this. Now, my dear viewers of Madinah, inshallah, this hadith sharif is a beautiful example, especially in this day and age too. And this is when we're going to come to what hastiness, being hasty is. So what do we see when we are seeing somebody read their prayer? We'll find that within, you know, a minute or so, a person finishes a 4 rak'at prayer. Or maybe that may be an exaggeration, maybe 2 minutes. Even that, my dear viewers, 2 minutes, a person is finishing 4 rak'at of prayer. Now, how is this possible? What superpowers do they have that they're able to complete it so quickly? Like, wow, how are they able to complete it so quickly? My dear viewers, there are no superpowers. They're not even completing it. This is the problem. They are being hasty. They are being hasty. They're trying to finish it quickly without completely finishing it. So it's incomplete. So this is being hasty now. This person is being hasty. What happens? We come to the masjid, a person quickly, firstly, takbir he'll do. But within a few moments, I don't know how, some people, how they read so fast. Really. Sometimes they just think, how on earth do they read so fast? So they'll just straight away, they'll begin. I don't even wish to try to read it fast because it would be distorting the words. What you need to understand is that when it comes to the Qur'an, to read so fast, yes, there is reading quickly. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmid Deen. You know, I would consider that to be maybe fast. Maybe I could do it a little faster. But it would be difficult to go much faster without distorting the words. And I don't wish to do this because it's distorting the words of the Qur'an. So I don't even wish to give an example of this. But my dear viewers, doing this, it changes the meaning of the Qur'an too. It is changing the meaning. And many a times it could be that you are saying something, which because, you know, within the Qur'an there's the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being mentioned. There's the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being mentioned. There's, you know, so many aqaid being mentioned. And if you're going to be distorting those verses, you know, you may change the meaning of the Qur'an. And especially when it comes in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it could change the meaning and give a negative meaning. A wrong meaning, my dear viewers. This in itself is really problematic. Just reciting the Qur'an in such a manner. Don't be hasty. And the people, yes, one is reciting the Qur'an so fast. And along with this, my dear viewers of Allah, then the actions they perform. So how a person will do is, he'll begin reading, so he's standing upright, let's just say right now I'm standing upright. So before I come into the ruku, a person will say, Subhanahu Rabbiyal Azim, Subhanahu Rabbiyal Azim. And then as they're coming back, they'll still say, Subhanahu Rabbiyal Azim. They're standing straight now. They are going into prostration. They're bending down whilst they're possibly reciting that, or Rabbana wa lakal hamd. And before they're getting into sajda, they're reciting Subhanahu Rabbiyal A'la. And, you know, they recite it so fast that as soon as their head touches the floor, they'll get back up. And they're still reciting it in the middle too. No, my dear viewers, this is not how we recite the salah. This is not how the salah is performed. But as the Prophet ﷺ has taught us, where when you do go into ruku, you go in such that, well, the back being straightened, and it says, you know, you rest in ruku, meaning you pause, you wait, you read the tasbih, When you have completed the tasbih, then you will stand upright. And you will stand upright. It's not just going like this. And many would understand because we see so many people doing such. This is what, well, we can't say this is what the companion did. We don't know exactly what the companion did. But the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he read his prayer and he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to repeat it. This was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine what would be our state, Allahu Akbar, especially those, you know, rushing in our state. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, do this slowly, calmly. And this is the manner in which it should be done. So now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said to him, what? That go pray again, you've not prayed. Meaning, you've wasted your prayer. It's as if your prayer is not complete. Or maybe you've ruined your prayer. My dear viewers among the children, then what is the purpose? Oh, what's the purpose of this then? What's the purpose of prayer? So all that time, by being hasty, what has it done? It's not saved you time, it's rushing, isn't it? So you're rushing to perform your salah, you're being hasty, now your salah is never done, now you're having to repeat it again. Or even if, you, let's just say a person didn't repeat it again, then maybe the salah is incomplete. So these are things we need to think about. Do not be hasty, my dear viewers among the children, because there are many negatives, many disadvantages of being hasty. We shall come to those, inshallah, azza wa jal. First, let's go to our daily reminder. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Respecting viewers of Madani Sharif, doing ittiba, following Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, has been commanded by Quran. And Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam's personality has been declared as the best role model in Quran. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, meaning, indeed for you, following the Messenger of Allah is best. In tafsir of this blessed ayah of Quran, Sadr al-Afadil, Hazrat Allama Maulana Muhammad Naimuddin Murad Ababi rahmatullahi ta'ala writes that you should follow properly Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and help the religion of Allah and never leave the companionship of Rasul Kareem alayhi salatu wa salam. And further he says, follow the sunnah of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because that is better for you. Respecting views of Madani Sharif, if someone follows Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and does proper ittiba of Rasul Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam, what in'am, what reward will he attain? And that is also mentioned in Quran. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. سبحان الله. It says, and he who obeys Allah and his messenger will be with those upon whom Allah has bestowed favor, i.e. the prophets and the truthful ones and the martyrs and the virtuous, and what an excellent companion they are. Subhanallah. The reward for that person who follows Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that inshaAllah he will be with prophets, he will be with siddiqeen, he will be with shuhada inshaAllah azza wa jal. And respected viewers of Madani Sharif, what a great companionship that is. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability that we follow the footsteps of Rasul Kareem alayhi salatu wa salam. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And if you were speaking about hastiness, now, it's said that there are many harms in being hasty. And I would like to read out or mention a few of these. One of these, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, is that firstly and most importantly, is that hastiness is something which is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's disliked. This itself should be sufficient for us. That being hasty is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, hastiness is from the shaitan. Hastiness is from the shaitan. As well as this, hastiness destroys those actions which are being performed being hasty, whilst performing it with a hastiness, my dear viewers. It makes a person fail in many things. It becomes a cause for regret. It ruins one's honor and dignity. And one is made to not only regret, but then having to make up for such things. It's an obstacle to success. It causes one to become maybe even embarrassed before others. It makes a wealthy person bankrupt. It causes one to be not only embarrassed or bankrupt, but it is due to this that a person is also deprived of maybe their right. Sometimes it causes a person to lose their, you know, to harm themselves. It causes a person to become harmed. Maybe they may even lose, you know, arms, legs. It takes a person to the jaws of death. It takes a person to the grave. It breaks relationships. It causes a loss to others. Being hasty, my dear viewers, subhanAllah, there are many, there's a full list I have in front of me. That being hasty, there's never any benefit of being hasty, Allahu Akbar. It's just being hasty, it'll destroy actions. It ruins actions. People always rushing, isn't it? That's what being hasty is. That's what being hasty is, my dear viewers. It said, you know, who is the thief of salah? Now, the worst type of thief is the thief of salah. The Prophet ﷺ was asked, who is the thief of salah? And the Prophet ﷺ told them that it's a person who does not perform the ruku' and sujood properly. That they do not perform them properly, this person is the thief of salah. And he said, what's the difference? A person who's stealing something in this world, his punishment is in this world. He's gaining some sort of benefit because he's still gaining the wealth. Not that I'm recommending anybody to steal, ma'azallah, astaghfirullah al-azim, no money views. But there is that little benefit. That's the reason people do it, otherwise people wouldn't do it. So they steal something, let's just say to steal some money. You to steal something because you think it's for your benefit. And there is that slight benefit, there's a monetary benefit if you're stealing money. But my dear viewers, inshallah, the thief of salah, this is not gaining nothing even in this world. He's not earning any money, he's not becoming more wealthy, he's not gaining nothing. Rather, it's the opposite. He's wasting, he's in a way, it's a waste of time, it's a waste of effort. And in the akhirah, he shall pay for it. Allahu Akbar. Being hasty is something which destroys action. We shouldn't do things in haste. And one thing which leads to people doing things in haste is anger. Because a person, when he's angry, he's not thinking right. It may be that something has happened to such a person. And then maybe he wishes to seek revenge. It could be anything. But at that moment when a person is angry, then they're not thinking right. They will be hasty. They'll do something without thinking over it. They will do something without thinking over it. And what will they do? As we said, being hasty leads to failure. Being hasty leads to a person's self-destruction. Being hasty loses to loss. And it could even be loss of one's own life. But if you use the inshallah, we are going to go to our daily hadith sheep. Sallu alal habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Some villages ask, what is the best thing bestowed upon man? The Holy Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, good manners. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, good manners erase the misdeed as the sun melts frozen water. The greatest hurdle in the attainment of good manners is hot temper and intense anger. If one overcomes these flaws, he will find it easy to become a well-mannered, sociable, and forgiving person. The habit of anger causes so many harms. For example, the one venting his anger gets deprived of patience and humility. Normally, the person who has the instinct for arrogance, pride, and haughtiness gets angry. Anger leads to many sins like backbiting, malice, jealousy, swearing, hurting someone's feelings, and causing someone's harm. It is anger that destroys friendships and relationships, inciting hatred. Usually, divorces and murders are also caused by anger. On the other hand, overcoming anger sets one's affairs in order, erasing problems and bringing happiness into the life. Regarding overcoming anger, the greatest and the noblest Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "The person who wrestles others to the ground is not brave. Brave is the person who controls himself in anger." Sallu al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. My dear viewers and brothers, inshallah, mashallah, you are watching Raz and Shan. That was our daily hadith. We do have our guest. This is our Rizwamba, mashallah, from London. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him for giving us time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallahu khairan. Thank you very much.
Masha'Allah, how are you? Mashallah. Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. How's your health? Everything okay, inshallah, Azzajal. I'm hoping, mashallah, may Allah ta'ala keep you forever happy, Rizwanbhai. Rizwanbhai, today's topic is being hasty. Have you ever anything from personal experience, maybe? That once, you know, sometime you were just, you know, being really hasty, something happened.
Yes, sir, I do agree with you that this is in one's nature, a human being's nature. He wants things to get done very quickly and everything needs quick results. And but what Islam teaches us and what the true guidelines of the teachings of Islam are, I think they will help us to control this. There are certain things where Islam has encouraged us to be quick in those things. There are certain things, but in general, Islam tells us to be patient and wait and give time to things and do not be very quick and haste and do things in hurry. I would like to give you a few examples, like how Quran itself has guided us. Like one of the main sources of Islam is Quran itself, the most important source. And it tells us, even when you are reciting Quran, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Like, subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us that even when you are reciting, you are doing the recitation of Quran, then you have to do it in a manner that you are not being hasty, and you have to recite it with all its rules and regulations and properly and with patience and proper with tartil. And this the concept of tartil is, you see, in each and every other aspects of the life also. And I would like to give you one example that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Taif, right? It's a very famous account when he went there to do invitation towards Islam, and he was not treated well, and people, they ridiculed. At the same time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was even hit by the stones, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed blood, even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed body was bleeding. And but yet, when the angel came and requested in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if you order me, I'll crush this valley. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's answer, subhanallah, it gives us that how patient Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, and beautiful. What beautiful message also he gave. He said that doesn't matter if they are not listening to the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but their upcoming generations will accept us.
Now,
look, this hope, this beautiful Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not despair. And we see nowadays, if things don't happen quickly, we don't get quick results, we become despair and we say, oh no, I'll leave this, I won't do this. See, we want quick results. But this is the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not for 1 year, 2 year, month, 2 months, but even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was patient for upcoming generations. So this tells us from the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are certain things in our life we need to be patient, especially when we do a business, right? We want quick results. If we start any thing new in our life, we want quick results. When people, they get married, when things are not getting easy and you see life is not easy, they start having fights or problems, they want to end up the relation quickly. We make friends quickly and we break relations quickly. So we need to take time. Everything has its own phase.
I think we're living in a world where, you know, you yourself know nowadays, we want everything just fast and quick. It's all about, and there's two ways, isn't it? It's all about, some people are thinking, yes, save time, why waste time? And they waste time in other places, and the places where they should be taking the time, that is rushing. That it's said about the millennials, Rizwan Bhai. The millennials are like, and some people say those were born in 1983, 1980s. That this is that generation which is completely different to the previous generation. This generation just wants everything fast. You know, I'll resign by somebody who will begin a job and they'll say that, oh, you know, I'm not happy with the job. And they asked why, they think because I thought I'm going to change the world. You know, as if it's going to happen within a second.
See, that's what I'm telling you. This example, the child when he bones, if you just take that example, or if you plant a tree, it takes its time. It is said that the bamboo tree in China, when you grow, it needs years to water it. And it doesn't even grow a little bit. And after 4-5 years, it starts growing. And we need to be patient. Even tree takes its time to grow. Even a child, when he is born, see, then slowly, gradually, then primary education, secondary education, then you go to university. And then this is how a person's life phases. You can't be an alim or scholar in a day. And Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala said there are certain things which take time. And especially to gain knowledge, a proper knowledge, you need mushaqqat, that you need a long time to establish the fact that you know a knowledge and you do mushaqqat, you work hard, struggle, and then you learn knowledge of deen. Anything in the world, if you want to do it properly, you see, nature also tells us, if you do things naturally, then definitely you need to allow time. You need to be patient. But unfortunately, there are so many devastating effects also, far-reaching effects. When a person is hasty, there are so many problems there associated. He becomes despair. He wants to quit things quickly. He wants to break relations quickly. He wants to end up things quickly. He cannot be steadfast. He cannot be persistent in his life. So these problems also occur as you are hasty in your life.
Allahu Akbar. MashaAllah, within such a short time, MashaAllah, so much, Rizwan Bhai, you did mention a beautiful example given, especially the Taif one, MashaAllah, where Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he had that chance, he had the opportunity. He was asked, the angel was there, you know, I can take revenge, but no, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says no. This is the mercy too of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But as well as this, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not being hasty. He knew that with time, inshallah, these people, they shall come to see the truth in the near future. And yes, it didn't happen immediately, but it happened over a particular period of time. And we see, man, this is our biggest problem nowadays, where we think we need, sometimes, you know, when you have a huge, a great mission, sometimes it's not even completed in one's own lifetime. Or many times it's not, in fact. Forget sometimes, many times it's not. But we think that, you know, we can have everything just done straight away. No. Some things take possibly decades. Some things may take a century. But if you use the Madinah, things don't happen quickly. But if you stay patient, inshallah, and if you do things correctly in the right manner, then you can attain success, inshallah, over time. That is, it doesn't happen overnight. Rizwan Bhai, jazakallahu khairan, mashallah, for your time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
bless you.
Allahumma ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
My dear viewers of Madinah channel, alhamdulillah, that was our Rizwan Bhai, what we were speaking about.
Mashallah, beautiful examples he mentioned. One about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Similarly, Madhi views of Madhini channel that nowadays, what is it we do? What is, it's based on everything. It could be anything, hastiness. It could just be crossing the street. It could be our driving. We're being hasty. We're rushing. What's the point of me waiting in this queue? When I can just, you know, move into that lane, I can possibly do this, I could get around, and I'll get there faster. And there's two things, my dear. Some people will think saving time, and yes, it's good to save time, but not at the risk of any loss. Not at the risk of loss, my dear viewers, of the initial. Not at the risk of, for example, if you're praying your salah, you can think, okay, I could pray my salah in 10 minutes, but if I have to pray in 5 minutes, then I will save time. Now, a person can possibly, let's just say, read part of his salah. Let's just say we're talking about four fard. Maybe he can recite that in 5 minutes, and that would be fine. But then if he thinks, oh no, in 1 minute or 2 minutes, I'm saving time, I'm doing it quicker, I'm doing everything fast. Now, this is being hasty, my dear viewers. Why? Because now it's affecting the action itself. It's destroying, it's ruining the action, or the action is going to be incomplete. This is hastiness, and this is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's go to our fund promo for today. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
The most revered and renowned prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has stated, give sadqah early in the morning as the calamity does not precede charity. Dawat-e-Islami is an international non-political organization operating all over the world in more than 100 departments. These departments include Jamiatul Madina, Madrasatul Madina, Maktabatul Madina, Darul Ifta, Ahl Sunnat, and Madani Channel. These departments require millions of rupees to keep running.
It's all over the world. It's spreading.
Contribute in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal by giving your zakat and sadqat to Dawat-e-Islami.
Dawat-e-Islami UK Madani Channel, sort code 309773, account number 4363456 0 IBAN GB67LOYD 309773436 34560 BIC LOYD GB 21087. Your donation can be used for any permissible religious, reformatory, welfare, well-wishing, spiritual and good purpose.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Davis of Madanishan, Dawat-e-Islam is doing a huge amount of work, alhamdulillah, and spending large amounts, really, really just large. The connotation to large, it doesn't really justify the amount that Dalsam is spending on a daily basis, the amount of Dalsam is doing on a daily basis. And yes, we are living in a time where we are dependent upon money, my dear viewers, and you know, everything requires money. Money is what makes, as they say, money is what makes the world go round, and money is required. My dear viewers, when any of you do think of giving charity, generally we should, by the way, we should make it a habit of ours to give charity. There will be many people who rarely give charity. No, we should give charity. We should give charity regularly, even if that's a little amount. But we should regularly at least give charity. And my dear viewers, whenever you do give charity, I would recommend that you give it towards Dawat-e-Islami, inshallah. Why? Because we're doing charity for reward, aren't we? And alhamdulillah, Dawat-e-Islami is doing the most, alhamdulillah, we can say with confidence, doing the most work, alhamdulillah, azza wa jal. And with more work being done for your money, inshallah, there is more reward, inshallah, azza wa jal. But that's another topic, my dear viewers. Coming back to hastiness. Now, we can have hastiness in eating too. I'm not sure how many of you have, you know, maybe experiences. But, you know, when a person is eating, or maybe let's just say, in fact, I've got a cup of tea in front of me, drinking. Now,
what is being hasty, what could be classed as being hasty? It could be, for example, I've just received this. If I was just to have received this and it was to be, you know, steaming hot, and we find that some people, they're just drinking it immediately. It's so hot and they're drinking it, but it doesn't even affect them. It's not that it doesn't affect them, meaning they can't tell. It doesn't harm them immediately. If I was to take a little sip, it would possibly burn my mouth. That's just how I am. I can't have something which is too hot, my dear viewers of Madani Channel. But remember that when it is really, really hot, then this is very bad even for the mouth itself. You know, you could develop mouth ulcers. Even in the stomach, you can develop ulcers. Drinking very, very hot tea, eating your food fast is bad, because, my dear viewers, this is something which we should not forget. This is something which we should not forget. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. Everything we have, He has created for a purpose. Now, it said, do not make the stomach do the job of your mouth. There is the job of the mouth, my dear viewers, and there is the job of the stomach. Do not make your stomach do the job of your mouth. What happens is, within our mouth, we have, let's just say, enzymes. We have the amylase enzyme, which helps the saliva, that is, within the saliva. So within the saliva, or the saliva itself, let's just say, it helps us break down. It helps us break down the food. So if you see, there's some foods which you do not even need to bite. As soon as they go into your mouth, they'll melt. Why? This is because of this. The saliva itself breaks down the food. And then your teeth, they aid breaking down the food. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created teeth in our mouths. Now, via these, we are able to break the food in our mouth. And once we have broken the food, automatically you won't be able to help it. Automatically it'll get swallowed. Sometimes you probably think, oh no, I'm trying to keep it in the mouth. You'll have to probably keep it like that to keep it in the mouth itself. Otherwise, as you are chewing, automatically it will go down. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, then it will go down. It will go down towards our stomach, and you know, there's also of chemicals from the gallbladder, etc., which help, which are released within the stomach, and there's all the acid which helps us break down that food. But my dear viewers of Madani Channel, the food should first be broken down in our mouths and not in our stomachs. If we are rushing, if we are being hasty in eating, we shall place it into our mouth and immediately swallow it. You know, we're just knocking back food. And some people, they eat so much, really, they eat so much, but this is because they don't chew properly. I know one person who says that, oh, at first I never used to chew, but he says, now I chew my food properly, and now I only need to have one chapati. Before I would have two or three chapatis, you know, I would still never become satisfied. But if it was mashallah, we have our final segment. What is today's final segment? Today's segment, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, is a look at society. There are many problems we face within society, many things which are going on in society, and it could be all sorts of things. It could even just be something we've been speaking about today. For example, hastiness. This is a problem we are having within society. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, we have so many problems. You know, there's a problem of drugs, there's a problem of alcohol, whatever it may be. Nepotism, there's, you know, stealing, there's deceit. There are so many problems we are having in society, my dear viewers of Madani Channel. There are so many individuals who, and this is a sad reality, an unfortunate reality, that we call ourselves Muslims, but yet Muslims, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, when Islam was spreading, and to some lands, when it did come to those lands, at first many people would fear because of what they had heard. Now, this is what happens. People spread wrong things, wrong rumors. This has always been happening. This has always happened, my dear viewers. And yes, it would happen then too. But we find that many people, they were happy that the Muslims were there. Why? Because they saw the fairness amongst the Muslims. They saw the justice, true justice amongst the Muslims. The Muslims would not take advantage of others. So Islam, alhamdulillah, why? Because it was the time of the companions, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the tabi'un, you know, the great awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. those who, Allahu Akbar, the great ulama Madivios. Yes, as Imam Ghazali, rahmallahu ta'ala, he says that every year it goes from bad, and then the next year will get even, things get even worse. But when a person would hear a Muslim, he would feel safe. He would hear that this person's a Muslim, they would feel safe and think, yes, I could trust this person. But sadly, now it's, you know, people don't think the same, Madivios. MashaAllah, we've had our guest joining us. Hopefully, if you can hear me this time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. How are you, Hazrat?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. It took you some time to join us, Abrezai.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, ala kulli hal. Allah fazlu karam, mashallah. Everything is well. Alhamdulillah. On your side, Shabazz Madinisa, how's in the UK? How's things going there?
Alhamdulillah, Azzurrah. Alhamdulillah, always, Abrezai, whatever the situation is. I was just speaking that, you know, we've got a look at society, which is our final segment, mashallah. We've got the perfect guy for that, yourself, mashallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, Abrezai, for giving us time. I was saying, would you agree with me or not? That no doubt there used to be this time when people would, you know, had realized that this person's a Muslim, I could trust this person. This person's a Muslim, he will never cheat me. This person's a Muslim, he will never deceive me. This person's a Muslim, Muslims don't lie. This person's a Muslim, he has made a promise, I can trust him, he will stick to his promise. But is it the same nowadays, Tabriz bhai?
I totally agree with you, Shabazz bhai. And the state of Muslim society in this day and age is that when people go out to look for jobs, and when they come to know that the owner of this particular company is a Muslim, they are more afraid of working in that company simply because he's a Muslim. They are scared of being deceived by each another. And this is a reality, Shabazz bhai, you know, contrary to the Sunnah, to the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Trust, you know, being Muslims, acting like Muslims, we need to, don't we, Tabriz? What do you have to say?
Gee, Hazrat, trust in Islam, of course, is a great aspect. And Islam has taught us as Muslims how we should trust. I mean, examples can be found in the lifetime of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what better example than this, Shabazz bhai, that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the perfect role model, even at the time of his migration from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwarah, he sent Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem to give back the amana which he has taken from people. And then only he was allowed to travel to Madinah al-Munawwarah. So this is sufficient for a Muslim to understand that when we take Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be our role model, then we should be following his footsteps and doing the very same thing. People are entrusted with money, with employment, with jobs, with so many different aspects, you know. And that's why when we make salam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, that person's wealth, his blood and his belonging becomes haram on the person. He should, you know, be careful with all of these things here when he makes salam to a person, that he should not harm the next Muslim with his tongue or with his actions, with his hand. So inshallah, keeping this behind your mind, you know, if you do the right things in Islam, inshallah, surely a person will have, you know, a comfortable stay in the qabr as well as in the hereafter, because of course that is the first stage to the hereafter. If the grave is comfortable, then the hereafter as well will also be comfortable and easy for him. If he did not receive deliverance and easiness in his qabr, then of course there will be difficulties in the hereafter. But doing these actions which we are talking about right now, amana and entrusting people and being a trustable person, is of course from amongst the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is part of Islam. It is part of every single Muslim who recites the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
I think what happens many times is people think that, generally people may say this, but when the time comes and when they think, oh no, I can get all of this money, you know, then they forget about the etiquettes or the rulings or, you know, the deen, etc. Sadly, they just taken. That's the shaitan, isn't it? And this shows that we should love the deen, we should love our religion more than we love the world. Because if you're going to love the world, then it will take you far from your religion. Tabriz, by the way, I do apologize. We have run out of time. But mashallah, barakallah for helping us. But if we have run out of time, that's all for now. Continue to recite salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end.